Everybody, welcome to a Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Murray alongside. We'll take you to three. Hand it off to our good buddy, Phil Bonatti. On location, as always, on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture with another good friend, Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. And Phil is there for 3 hours, El Paso, across from River Park. Stop by and see him. Check out the furniture. Always good eats around as well. And they'll certainly go over everything there at Fashion Furniture. Baseball, football, basketball, you name it. And speaking of baseball, of course, Rod is a big, big Yankee fan, and they, after Aaron Judge hit 50 and 51 last night, have pulled even with the Blue Jays. So we'll see how that plays out. And the wild card scramble is done in the American League as far as who's going to be in. The National League still to be decided. I was just telling Jorge that the Reds game, amazing Noel V. Marte saves the game-tying homer for the Pirates. Reds win. Mets got to be dying about it. The D-backs blew a game last night to the Dodgers and now are getting their rears kicked by the Dodgers. So it's a wild scramble for that last slot in the National League, and we'll see how it plays out. And I'm sure Phil will have updates for you as well as we go through the afternoon. And speaking of updating the afternoon, the A's are over on 790 right now, and they're down big to the Astros. But the A's have already won that series now by winning two. And the Astros, who have lost five straight, have backdoored their way into the playoffs. So we'll see if that gift works out for them. And I bring all of this up because in regard to schedule, beginning next week, we have full coverage of every single pitch of the Major League Baseball postseason through ESPN Radio. So you've got the best of three wild card matchups to start it, then divisional play, then, of course, the league championship series in both leagues, and then the World Series. Will have all of that for you. So I'll tell you all about that and what's coming up on a football weekend number four, which starts tonight with the Cardinals and the Seahawks, which has implication, of course, for the 49ers, who, by the way, evidently will have Brock Purdy back over the weekend. Go over all of that a little bit later on, and I know that Phil will have a lot to say about it during his show. All of that will be brought to you by our good pal, Ed Dunkel, and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. We'll tell you more about Ed's fine business a little bit later on. Jackson with me, as usual, our de facto co-host, the only person who has the honor of being on twice a week, and I know he treasures that. If you believe that, you'll buy the swampland I have for you in Florida. But again, he's nice enough to put up with me twice a week in his busy schedule. So we'll get to Jackson in just a moment and get to your emails at tdad1@att.net. But first, the rest of our lead dogs. Also, as always, want to spend some time with you. One, want to remind you about our friends at KFC doing so much to help out in the Valley. They've got the specials going on, the local operators do, of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Right now, for a limited time, the hot and spicy wings, the potato wedges, they're there. But again, limited time only. Stop on in, pick them up. They are a fan favorite, that's for sure. And also, at the same time, they have their legendary KFC chicken sandwich, still bigger and better than anything you're going to find anywhere else. Just $3.99 right now at your local KFC. So stop by, pick up a sandwich, pick up wings, wedges, and also keep in mind you still have the Tuesday special, which is the $10 eight-piece bucket, and the Wednesday special, which is the country fried steak. So great deals at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Other reminders, want to tell you about the weather quickly from everybody at Lee's. They've been longtime sponsors of the station, longtime sponsors of the show. Local people have been around since 1981. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. More information, leesair.com or 825-5337, which is 825-Lee's. Also, they bring you the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how Jackson comes up on the air and fills guests and callers. 559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air Hotline. As far as the forecast goes, strange day yesterday because in the northwest part of town, it did not, at least around the station area, rain much, if at all. Other parts got a big-time soaking, and so we go to today, and there's still a chance in certain places that you're going to see some rain. Mainly now it looks like it'll be in the foothills up toward Oakhurst, etc., but maybe something will hit the valley floor, a spotty shower or two, although at the moment it doesn't look like it because all we have out there right now, blue skies and puffy white clouds. But it was a lot of lightning in certain places and a lot of thunder, and I guess some people got a lot of rain. And I know in the North Valley, particularly the west side, may see some more rain. And as I mentioned, the foothills could as well. So anybody be careful as well. No matter who you might be and where you might be, you could find yourself with rain. And I bring that up because the who would be, if you are a farmer, anybody in agriculture, you're still very interested in what's going on. All right, as far as the numbers go, 88 today, 89 tomorrow, 93 on Saturday. Then we go 87, 84, 80, 84. And by the way, the fair opens up on Wednesday. So again, it's a good time to be out and around, and I hope people are able to take in the fair and also enjoy your events that you're out for. Like, for instance, high school football. We have a great matchup coming up over the weekend on Friday at LaMonica. We'll tell you about that. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, Lee's. Final reminder, our great friend Joe Cruz, his terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating their 25th anniversary in town at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103. You can always give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web where there's more information at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Joe has been a great supporter of Fresno State Athletics, allows me the time every day to tell you the best avenues to donate to Fresno State, as Joe has done for over three decades. And right now, before we get there, we tell you about his fine business, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses. It's all there under one roof. Stop by and see him, as I mentioned, at 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103. If you got a problem with a valve, for instance, anything that could take your business down, because if a valve goes down, I don't care if you're a plant guy, maintenance worker, tanker delivery person, someone working around a boiler, if your valve goes down, your business can go down. So stop on in if you've got an issue, or give Joe a call. Tell him what your issues are. He will analyze it for you, give you a same-day estimate, same-day service. If you are starting to find those problems becoming overwhelming, he'll get you in a position where you don't lose time. If it's already gone down, he'll get you back up and running in a big hurry. And that's why his business has been so successful. A native son of the Valley and a guy who is a huge basketball fan, and always enjoy conversing with him about it off air. As far as what you can do for Fresno State, because after Joe is done solving your problems, if you're stopping by to see him at his family-friendly business, he will ask if you've got a few minutes. He'll tell you what he does for Fresno State, and we'll point you right now to the best venue, which is the website that is GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Click on that. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And finally, under ways to give, you have the individual sports clubs where your money goes directly to that sport. Quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick just with me 24 hours ago to talk about the upcoming tip-off dinner on October 13 at Pardini's, and Jack is with me every week to talk basketball. Being on the board of directors, timeout club, he said they'd love to see more members. He said you can call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, for more information, or go to the web at FurtickJack@AOL.com and hit him up with an email. There's also links for other sports, Dugout Club, for instance, for baseball and other men's and women's sports. There are under ways to give. And then, as we've mentioned over and over again, if you have an opportunity to get involved with NIL, contact the university. Tell them what you can do. See if it is within the aegis of what is considered a good idea. And I bring this up because we talk about this commission that's supposed to be overseeing this. But NIL monies are so important. Any donations, any sponsorship ideas, anything you have, make sure you have an opportunity to get to the university, who has taken over everything now, which is a good idea, by the way, for the collective, and get yourself in a position that will benefit both student athletes and your business as well. And you can, of course, specify your sport there once again. Anyway, thanks to all the sponsors, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating and Roofing, and the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate one and all. And again, we now appreciate very much our de facto co-host and the guy who puts up with me a couple times a week because I pay him handsomely. That's right. It's Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, go ahead and continue with the lie. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Oh, I'm just I'm as you might imagine, I'm a lot more relieved that Marte went above that right field wall in Cincinnati. Otherwise, you might be doing this show by yourself right now. So, which maybe would be a good idea. I mean, should we consider that, Jackson? Maybe instead of de facto co-host, should you, I just turn over one day a week to you and chill? What do you think?
I'm glad to be on with you, Tony.
Well, I tell you, you are expert at dodging exactly whatever it is that I bring it up, so congratulations. All right. Want to get to Mark's email, Jackson, right away because I did put it off last week, and I apologize. Two things. He would like to see for the Pac-12, which is actually right now the Pac-8 in football, and goodness knows what it's going to be full-time. It's what, Pac-9 right now in basketball at the moment, Jackson, is that right?
Yeah, 8 football, 9 for basketball. It's a baseball-only member. It's you're getting a little hard to keep up, and I'm sure there's not done yet either.
Okay, as far as what Mark would like to know, he talked about, given the circumstances around the conference, having the tournament kind of like it has been in Las Vegas year after year, having it here for the Pac in Fresno, extolling the virtues of how close Yosemite is and everything else, and basically making it the stop every year. It would be great for Fresno State, though I will say in all honesty, Jackson, that when the Bulldogs had an opportunity, I think it was very early in the 2000s, it may have been as late as 2006. I think it was somewhere in there. Because they did host the WAC tournament at Selen, but I'm talking at the start of the 2000s. But I think it was 06, if I remember right, at SMC. The crowds weren't great. But let's just say it's different because it's going to be the Pac. Do you think that anybody really wants to do what happened with Vegas? And that mainly is because of Vegas. And Mark pointed out the number of tournaments that are there, and we've mentioned that almost everybody's there, so you may have to look elsewhere. What about it, Jackson? Is it something where the rest of the conference would say, hey, hang on a minute, in the Mountain West, UNLV happened to be coincidental to it being their home court, and also they were not the menacing team they might have been if Tark were still there. So could you imagine the rest of the conference, realistically, as much as I love the idea, Mark, acquiescing to Fresno State every year for this?
I would think they would probably prefer to be in Vegas if there's a facility and enough space and another tournament over there. Even the Pac-2, just the Oregon State and Washington State held their media days in Vegas for just two schools not long ago, just to kind of be in the atmosphere of other conferences that were doing it. So I think that might be a preference. If they're going to go to a host site, I would have to imagine it's going to have to be on a rotation to keep things fair. It's not a bad idea, especially if they can't be in Vegas, but it's hard to see one team getting it year after year.
You know, the issue, Jackson, of fairness versus the kinds of crowds you want. And I bring this up because in the major conferences, and I hate to use that designation, but since we're talking basketball, let's try it this way. In the basketball crazy conferences, right, the ACC is still a basketball crazy conference, though, as we mentioned, they certainly are not in that Power Two. That belongs to the SEC and the Big Ten. The Big Ten is a basketball-crazy conference, though football still rules the day. And in the SEC, they're getting to be a basketball-crazy conference, though football rules the day. In those conferences, they can get away with going to a neutral site if they want. And first of all, their proximity is much within reach of everybody. And they can draw great and have the major networks there basically maneuvering their schedule around the particular tournament schedule. Jackson, when you're craving the attention and you're out here and you're not necessarily going to be known as an inveterate basketball conference, okay, because you're brand new, how careful do you have to be to make sure that if you're going to be fair, fine, but a quote-unquote neutral site may show for your network opportunity a less-than-great interest in your conference for people watching across the country? How tough is that balancing act going to be?
Yeah, I think it is going to be tough. I think, you know, also you've got some programs where, let's say, a football championship game. I'm not sure if this Pac-12 collaboration is really going to be able to support a neutral site championship game. I think it's really probably going to have to be on a home field, assuming they could do a championship game with
right.
eight teams and whatever. You got to set that up. But basketball, you're talking about, I mean, in Vegas, the Mountain West Tournament, the games necessarily haven't been packed to the brim, but there's been a lot of fan bases that bring a lot of teams, and they're used to going to Vegas. And I mean, San Diego State, Boise State, Utah State, a lot of these programs bring quite a bit of fans year after year, and they're in that routine. And Gonzaga is also used to going to Vegas. So, you know, I'm curious. This is one where I don't think you necessarily have to in this basketball conference be on a host site, but if it's not Vegas, it's hard to imagine where else it's going to be, at least from a fan-driven aspect. Then it comes down to TV. TV partners want it somewhere. There's location as far as just ease of travel for teams. So a lot that goes into it here, I would say, if there's not an obvious answer.
Well, I appreciate, if you're listening, Mark, the idea and the fact, as you mentioned, that you have Yosemite and Monterey and Pismo, and, you know, you mentioned for people like to gamble, Table Mountain or Amona Wynn or anybody like that, Chukchansey. You're right, and the wine trails and the Blossom Trail, all of that can be marketed, but I think what it comes down to, first of all, it comes down to the obvious nature of why Vegas is so popular. I mean, we all know why. It's because the network executives love going to Vegas. Gee, hey, look, Jackson, I did a baseball tournament in the early 80s for Fresno State, and I was out at 4 o'clock in the morning, all right, which, you know, to me is considered the me and Harry Carey, one of us is still alive. Probably neither of us should be alive right now is what I'm telling you, okay? But the thing is, I would go out at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning just to do sightseeing in Las Vegas, as you know. And you know who I would run into during the baseball tournaments in February at 4:30 in the morning in Vegas?
Who's that?
The coaches of the teams, all right? That's who I'd run into. Okay, so Fred Dalamore, you know, his son Brian was in the Giants organization, if you recall. Fred Dalamore was the legendary coach at UNLV, and he used to have the preseason tournament there where you would invite teams, and I was talking to him one time, and he said, you know, I've offered for us to go on the road, but oddly enough, everybody keeps saying this time of year they're glad to come here. Really? You think so? You know the appeal of Vegas, all right? And look, we're talking about – I'm not talking about any player out there, and I'm not talking about anybody underage. I'm just saying there is a reason that networks and teams and boosters like going to Vegas. So they look past, as you mentioned, Jackson, if there's less than great crowds or whatever, though, for the Mountain West, New Mexico, we know this. The Utah people love to come and gamble, so that's been proven. So you've always got schools like Utah State willing to show up. Because of that, how tough would it be to get it over the hump in Fresno for that reason alone, meaning as much as you want to extol the virtues of your area, they're not going to look at it as, hey, I can hardly wait to get there. Does that play against this period? I'm talking about as being there every year I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think so. And I also just think geographically being central, it seems like those mountain schools haven't had much trouble making their way down to Vegas, and it would be a little tougher to get to Fresno. So it's been, I think it's worked out pretty well for the Mountain West and the can for the Pac. They have a place to play after all the other conferences have their arenas picked out.
Well, look, Mark, I appreciate the idea, and I think what will happen is what you're saying, Jackson, at least initially, it's going to be a rotational deal, you know, and you can't wait. You remember what happened with the WCC? They decided they would allow the top seed, the host. The problem with that is you don't know sometimes until the final weekend who the top seed's going to be. And, you know, they were playing in their own gymnasiums, basically, so they're able to do it at the last minute. You can't do that venue-wise if you're going to sell any kind of tickets at all. So we'll see. The other thing Mark had asked about was he would like to see, when they get to the Pac, a bowl game back in Fresno to be played annually at Valley Children's Stadium. We have talked a great deal about the old California Bowl, all of that stuff. You know, and what Mark mentioned is the departing Mountain West members that are joining it lose access to the Arizona, Hawaii, New Mexico bowls, etc. He brings up, you know, the Pac-12 with the L.A. Bowl against the Mountain West, all of that stuff. I've said this before. It comes down to the old Don Ohlmeyer line about money. And the fact that when you had the California Bowl, and, of course, naturally I was in the media at the time working, what we saw was when Fresno State was playing, it was great. And, you know, the late, great Al Ratka had brought this up before. Al had made the suggestion that maybe every year the California Bowl ought to be Fresno State against another team that they invite in, as long as the Bulldogs have enough wins to be bowl eligible. I don't think the NC2A would have gone for that. I think it was a little tongue-in-cheek by the Bulldog grade of the 30s, okay? But that's essentially a de facto home game, right, being played in December. But you're around the area of the university in person a lot more than I am these days, for the reasons you know, and which is complete and utter lack of mobility. The reality of it, Jackson, is there the interest, the financial interest, the corporate interest to be able to front a bowl game knowing in the years Fresno State's not playing, the ticket sales probably aren't going to be around 40K, which is what you want?
Yeah, it's a good idea, and it's one that's been rattled around for quite some time, especially if it's Silicon Valley Bowl departed. It's kind of been a hole as far as California bowl games, and my kind of overall just thought on the thing was just, was there someone at Fresno State or in the community that's going to have the ambition to do something like that? And I don't think there's anyone that's really gotten the ball rolling there, and can at least say right now Fresno State's got an athletic director that's taken some swings, and Gary Classy's doing some new things and interesting ideas, and they're trying to make things happen. So if there was ever administration that might be willing to push forward with that, if there's a demand, it looks like Fresno State's in a good spot right now. It's just, is that demand there? I'm curious to see, you know, next year at some point in this, from now till then, we'll hear about the Pac-12's new bowl lineup, and you know, maybe they already have all the things that they need lined up and there's not a need for it, or maybe they're shorthanded. Maybe it would be very nice to have a centrally located bowl game in California. Yeah, just not sure exactly where the conference's bowl propositions lie currently, and it's going to be maybe a little bit of a moving target too. If you've only got 8 teams, you don't need that many bowls as you might have used to, and you might have teams that get more wins in non-conference where you have a abnormally amount of bowl eligible teams within your conference. So but once it locks in this upcoming year, it's pretty much set for another 5 or 6 seasons, I believe. So it would probably be a pretty short window to make all that happen here.
Well, listen, Mark, I'm sorry to keep you waiting to answer the email. I know you sent it in the 15th of the month, but I did want to get to it. It's good. The ideas are good, Mark. I think the execution of it is going to be very, very difficult, and I know you'd like to see it, and we'll see what the league does. And one last time, Jackson, to put a bow on it, one of the things that this city has always had to overcome is the issue of getting a lot of teams in and out at the same time. Now, a bowl game wouldn't create that, but a tournament would create that issue. We see it happen hosting other events, and it seems to work out, but it is a perception sometimes more than a reality. Other times it is a reality, depending upon the numbers you're talking about bringing in. But the biggest issue right now, and I keep coming back to it, was the opportunity that Fresno State had to be the host of the College Softball World Series. I brought it up, you know, many, many times when it was the unwanted stepchild, right, when the NC2A took it over. NC2A took it over in 82. They tried it for a few years in Omaha. That it was buried by the interest of the College Baseball World Series. Tried it a couple years in Sunnyvale because you had five of the eight teams being Western teams at that time. And again, the operators of Twin Creek Sports Complex in Sunnyvale really didn't put their heart and soul into it. They complained if the lights were turned on too bright at night because they said, are you going to pay for the energy? We said, well, no, but we do have a telecast to do. And so it left for Oklahoma because nobody wanted it. And as I mentioned to you, because I was there all those years, Oklahoma didn't want it the first 2 years. They and Oklahoma State were having to co-host, which was tantamount to the Hatfields and the McCoys hosting, okay? You do not have Oklahoma and Oklahoma State trying to get along hosting an event. And Fresno State had the chance. They had to cooperate on both sides of Cedar to get it done. They could have brought it here before the stadium was built, the softball diamond. But the two sides of Cedar, because of the animosity between softball and baseball, they just could not administratively get along. And while they were busy screwing around, Oklahoma, I saw it year after year, gradually, year after year, more people started showing up. They didn't even know, a lot of people didn't even know that that brand new stadium had been built, for goodness sake. And then as Oklahoma, the school started to play well, look out, and by the time Fresno State finally got its stuff together, it was too late, and you could not get it away from Oklahoma City. And I don't need to tell you now, A, the stadium there is hardly recognizable because they've expanded it like three or four times. And Jackson, it is now part and parcel of the fabric of Oklahoma City. And it galls the hell out of me that Fresno had it right in its grasp and let it get away. And if Fresno would have kept it, then the perception of this area would have been different. And it's not about softball, the game. It's about being the host of one of the singular national championships. There are very few of them, of the national titles that the NC2A has under their umbrella that draw the national interest. You're looking at the college football national championship, the basketball national championships for basketball on both men's and women's side. You're looking at baseball, and you're looking at softball. And Jackson, do you know how amazing it would be if Fresno were in its 30-plus year run of this? And it just drives me out of my freaking mind. And we're all lucky I don't use profanity right now, because as you know, off the air, I would make a longshoreman blush. Anything you would like to add to that, Jackson?
Yeah, softball's been pretty impressive even with that series of events. So it's tough to imagine all the potential that could have gone maybe even further with all that.
Well, and again, nobody out there should misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that everybody across this country thinks softball is the be-all, end-all, though it is a very much in the top echelon of growing sports. There's no doubt. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about softball as an end in and of itself. I'm talking about the national championship being a means to an end to give credibility to this area that would have been something that would have been beneficial in many, many other areas. And I was there in Oklahoma City, and I was telling them that it could be done here, and I was telling them that they needed to move the damn thing by a week. And guess what they did afterward, Jackson? They moved it by a week, okay, to get it off of Memorial Day weekend. So it's just one of those things that I find so incredibly unfortunate, because it's one of those, you know, we keep talking about the ship sailing away, right? How many times you and I had this discussion, right, that you're going to have three different tiers of football. It's going to be two ships leaving the shore. One is going to have the Big Ten and the SEC. The next is going to have all of those just below. Those people, those schools that get on a second boat, they're also going to sail out of there. But whoever is in Tier 3 is going to be left on Gilligan's Island, okay? And I think even though Ginger is still alive, Tina Louise is getting a lot older. Trust me on this. So what I'm saying is you have to put yourself in a position where you're going to be a survivor in all of this kind of stuff, Jackson. And in order to do it, you've got to be positioned properly. So, you know, there's nothing else that can be done about it, but it is just really galling when the opportunities are out there, right? And you're in a position where you're going to be part of the mix. You're not going to be left behind in everything. And I just, is there anything else you can add seriously to this?
I don't think so. I think you covered it well, Tony.
Well, I don't think I've covered it well at all. I think I've covered it as a guy who's mad about it. I mean, you know, I mean, come on. You've got an opportunity, and it gets away from you. And so I don't know. I don't know what else that can be done, except when they get to the new conference, you have to hope that Fresno State is in a position to be hyper-competitive. And I will ask you, what is your confidence that the PAC is going to be a conference that does not get left behind here? And I'm not talking about the top tier. I'm talking about that second tier.
Yeah, it's right now, you know, the Mountain West is not having a great start to this season, and neither are those two teams that are sitting there in the Pac-12 right now. So it's not probably the best perception as far as competition-wise. It would be nice to have a team in the national discussion that's going to be in that Pac-12 group, and maybe Boise State gets back in there. I think as bad as they looked in that first game, I think they're going to be in this discussion by the time Fresno State gets to see them in November. I think they've still got quite a bit of talent there. I think this competition is going to tell the story. Is the Pac-12 going to be far and away better than the other group of five programs, or is there going to be Tulane and Memphis and a handful of others that are just as good, and keeping the perception that there's not a whole lot of separation between the group of five programs, or maybe, you know, UNLV or even in New Mexico, the way they're playing right now, might be some of those same teams in those talks if it were to be already split right now. So I just think the PAC has to take care of business on the field. I think they're going to have the facilities, the fan base, and the finances to separate from the other group of five programs, but they got to do it actually on the field and on the court, or they're just going to be stuck looking like the rest of them. And then as you talk about potentially separation between the NCAA and the setup, then it really comes down to the individuals and who's attractive and geography and how exactly things get split. I think it's probably in these schools' best interest that the ACC gets broken up and the Big 12 is willing to come west. And that's really, I think, the only life raft as far as trying to make that break.
Well, you just don't want to be left behind. I mean, that's the thing. Now, look, we're in a bye week, and that's one of the reasons that this has come up again, because you're trying to position yourself. Ferdig brought it up yesterday, Jackson, and we certainly have discussed this, that your players play well, and that's great, and that means you recruited well, and the double-edged sword is then you have to worry about them leaving, right? I mean, we already discussed Speedy Luke, and, you know, I mean, Panish, it's his school. For goodness sake, he started at St. John Bosco, and even Brian concedes it's going to take money to keep Speedy Luke around. So the sustainability at this level is very, very difficult, and if you're going to want to make sure you're going to at least be in that second ship, you've got to find a way to be successful, to have the infrastructure, to have the money, to have everything around, and you can't let opportunities get away from you. That having been said, where are we at recruiting-wise football? It's been, I know, a big time. Is Fresno State still doing well here?
Yeah, with the way the recruiting calendar set up these days, they did most of their recruiting efforts in the summer. Now, with the bye week, all the coaching staff is hitting the road. Some guys are going as far back east as Nebraska and Missouri. I mean, they're really getting to places this weekend, visiting the commits and being at games on Fridays across the country. And you know, the way that their class looks, it's pretty representative. There's like a decent amount from California, and there's a whole lot more spread out all across, whether it's Utah or Nebraska. I mean, they're all over the place in this class. There's not a lot of room for more additions, but we'll probably see one, two, or three by the time signing day rolls around, I would think. So it's mostly just holding on to your class right now, probably even getting a head start on 2027. We've seen a few offers go out during the season to next year's class, and you know, right in between, then you've got the mad rush of the transfer portal and trying to build your next year's roster, which is something totally independent of what their efforts are at right now.
We have talked so often about the necessity of football of being the lead dog, and it has to be. I asked Ferdy yesterday, I'll ask you, Jackson, where are you at with this basketball team right now? We know you're going to have a vibrant sports program, and this is not to minimize any sport that you are, you know, funding as part of your overall athletic department endeavor, but certainly the tails that wag the dog, football, basketball, and then baseball, that gives you 9 months of interest. Football would appear to be, again, on track to give you what you need at the start of the year. Is basketball going to give us what we need in those in-between months?
Well, if they can just be competitive compared to last year's season, I think it would go a long way. It's a lot easier to follow the team and get to games when you know they're in it. And even if it's, say, hypothetically a 500 team, you know, it's a competitive one that will be one that's you're more willing to watch than the way things went last year. I think having the non-conference schedule the way it sets up, they're at home a lot against teams with names and logos you would imagine that they'd be able to get quite a bit of wins against. So they may be able to get to conference play with a winning record and build up some momentum and give fans chances over the course of November to give them a second chance and check things out. I think the roster, you know, I'm optimistic. It looks a lot better than what they had last year. I think there's a potential for this team to gel a lot better. And, of course, if they just stay healthy and eligible, then that in itself is going to be an improvement. But I'm still curious to see what they look like relative to the rest of the conference as well. That's got a lot of strong teams and a lot of moving parts as well. I think the big thing for them, which is maybe the most challenging task, is I think they just have to come out pretty strong. You don't want to give fans any reason to bail out early, so they do need to take care of business against some of these teams that are coming to the City of March Center for non-conference.
The overall view of the health of the team right now, do you see a major hit somewhere depth-wise? We look at Walton in that offensive line. Is once more that the big concern again, which has been our conversation for how many years in a row now?
Football, the Braden Walton injury is a big one, but they did have Torian Penright ready to go, who started most of the last season. So, and that was very fortunate that the roster set up that way. It's probably a pretty big drop from the next injury if they took another one at tackle, and that means either Penright potentially going down or Roland Fullwood. If you lose either of those two guys, they could be tough to replace. There's some potential impact players, but guys that haven't played much. You're looking at a Marcus Simeon or Braylon Henderson, and those guys are kind of tweeners that can play guard or tackle. So at least physically, you know, if you take a 6'7", 330-pound Walton off the field, you know, you can't replace that. But Penright is pretty well rounded with his technique, but you lose a Fullwood maybe down the road, and then you're looking at a similar situation on the other side of the line. All of a sudden, your line doesn't look nearly as menacing as it has the first five games. But for the most part, this team, again, I feel like the depth, the drop-off between the ones and the twos in most places is not tremendous, but there's a few star players you need to keep healthy. And right now, I'd say the biggest thing you keep a circle on for the rest of the season is that linebacker, because now Tim Thomas is no longer on the roster, and he was kind of the guy that you were going to lean on if you had an injury down the road, where now that's down to Logan Stute and Titus Kajavi, who are, there's a lot of excitement about those two, but it would be a huge role for them at this stage as redshirt freshmen. They have to step in as starters. And again, even behind them as well, there's not much experience or age. So it could be tough for the defense if they lose one of those top two linebackers right now, especially as well as they're playing.
We'll certainly see after the bye week how ready this team is. I think they'll be very ready emotionally to play a team that it is a rival in Nevada, but a team the Bulldogs should win the game against here in town in particular. So I will ask you, Jackson, is it your expectation in the true cart before the horse routine that we go through on this show very frequently, as you know, that Fresno State conference-wise will roll into Boise undefeated in conference because Colorado State is not playing great, and even though San Diego State did surprise Cal, the Aztecs have to come here. Is it your feeling that when the Bulldogs get to Boise, Fresno State will be undefeated in conference?
I think so right now. I'm going to reserve judgment on Colorado State to see how they look against these next couple of games. They have Washington State and San Diego State. If they win those two, they're going to look a lot more threatening than they do right now. That Aztec game that they play while on the road is also on a Friday, so there's a little bit of travel and stuff, but they're going to have a little extra time to prepare for the Bulldogs. We'll be on a short week for that game. And I think just in general, maybe even if the Rams don't look all that great those next two games, they are a team that wants to play kind of physically and run the ball, and those are things that could set up to be kind of a tight game that can go either way. So I think stylistically, and we'll see talent-wise, Colorado State should be a very competitive game, I think. It's one of, if the Bulldogs play their A game, I think they should win, but not quite penciling in a W for that one the same way I am for Nevada right now.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. Anything on the board beyond the usual? What's up?
Yeah, it's currently $1 for your first month to try things out on VIP. You can also join for 30% off a year. And we got some bye week coverage going on, some more insight from Hawaii. Got some recruiting stories coming up and player interviews that we've been holding on to get us through to the next week. So if you need your Bulldogs fix, that's the place to go, barkboard.com.
Well, well worth it. Jackson, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next Tuesday. And that is provided we don't have baseball preempting us. We'll see what happens with the schedule. And I will apologize to you because I realize that you had that torrid May-December affair with Tina Louise not that many years ago. So, you know, my apologies to you. I didn't mean to offend you. So take care, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
Tony, thank you.
All right. That may be the all-time outro, okay? All right. On that high note, we head to break as the Bulldog Hour, for better or worse, probably worse, continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back to 52. A couple of us on the show. Thanks to Jackson for his time. Phil is coming up from Fashion Furniture on a Thursday with his great show, Behind the Bench. I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And as always, we commend Ed for benefiting the Lyles College of Engineering. I know they had a big day on campus just yesterday. The goal there to unify athletics and academics, to provide more funding resources to students. That's what Precision Civil Engineering does for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. And they do a terrific job of that, and it's great for the university and for the engineers coming through that program at Lyles. As far as the lineup goes, the A's and the Astros on 790 right now, they may be close to wrapping up. The Astros had a big lead. The Astros are going to make the playoffs. The A's actually had a very good second half. They have played really well, and that portends well for the future, but that future will be in Sacramento for two more years and then in Las Vegas, not back in Oakland where I wish it was. Though congrats to the people in Sacramento. They have done an unbelievable job You know, I don't think people realize this. You have got the A's there and the AAA club of the Giants playing there the entire time there by the river in West Sacramento. And so it's been a great job by that entire organization to get it done. Anyway, the A's will wrap up over the weekend. The Giants will wrap up against the Rockies. And for us, it's baseball time next week. We'll have exclusive coverage of the playoffs for you from ESPN Radio. As soon as that's all sorted out and the National League wild cards are sorted out, we'll make sure to get the information to you about how it affects our schedule next week. For us, tonight starts week number 4 in the National Football League. Cardinals and the Seahawks, so a relevant game certainly for the 49ers. By the way, Brock Purdy figures to be back for the 49ers against the Jags over the weekend. We've got the 49ers, the Rams, Raiders, of course, as always, and the national games on Thursday, Sunday night, and Monday. And Monday is Major Wager Monday. Doubleheader this week, by the way. Carter and the gang, as always, out at Mionette's Victory Grill. Cedar in Dakota, Granite Park, a great time. Stop on by 5 o'clock. Terrific food, great coverage of the games, and always a lot of fun there as well, and some wonderful conversation with people hanging to watch the games at me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. Phil has his fine show 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture. Again, stop by today and see him, El Paso, across from River Park. Check out the best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Also, you can give Phil a call on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has two fine shows with us on our sister station, The Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings. It is the Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. On Saturday mornings, the long-running show that Paul has on 1430, which is Central Valley Sports Report, live from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays. Everything with the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcasts there. Once again, full coverage of Major League Baseball through the World Series, of the NFL through the Super Bowl and all our local teams. The same with the NBA. The Lakers are coming up. So everything of local interest and, of course, the great high school sports coverage, including this Friday when Paul and Phil and Pat Hill are at La Monica as Clovis North will host Frontier of Bakersfield, part of Friday Night Lights. So that's a great opportunity for you as we continue with local, regional, and national coverage of everything we can possibly offer. So please tune in to both 1430 and 790. And then finally, the thank yous go out first to everybody at KFC. And one more time, the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, and Kerman have the hot and spicy wings, potato wedges. For a limited time, they're back, the ultimate fan favorite. They also have the KFC chicken sandwich, bigger and better than ever, just $3.99 for a limited time. And you have the $10 eight-piece bucket on Tuesdays, the $5.99 country fried steak on Wednesdays. Great chances, and stop on in to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Tell them thanks for helping out with everything in the valley. Final thank yous go out at Dunkel Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And again, call Phil on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Thanks to Jorge once again for a great job. Thanks to Jackson. Brian Panish with me tomorrow. A lot of football to talk about, college, high school, and pro. And I know that Phil will do that momentarily from Fashion Furniture. This is KFIG Fresno.